Knights having great success so far this year. Does that put any pressure on you guys to succeed in this
Who are the Golden Knights? only pressure is that the sniping of people saying you got to do as good as them.
It's just good. Vegas is treating us well, and I think the record doesn't show how hard that we work, and it's tough in that way, but it's good for us in the inner circle to understand what we have going on in Vegas, and if we just continue to trust and believe in each other, the sky's the limit for this team, and I'm blessed to be a part of it.
Our expectations maybe at the start of the season were a little unrealistic.
Man, we're not even worried about the playoffs right now. What we do is we take it week by week. We got to worry about next week. You start looking ahead and you start looking over people, you might not even make it. So.
That being said, to me, Urban Meyer is one of the lowest pieces of garbage there is on this earth.
You are tuned in to Straight Bet Sports live on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network.
I said it last week and I'll say it again. The ending of our intro is just amazing because it always brings a smile to people's faces in the studio, man. Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm your host, Jose V. You're tuning to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. Thank you so much for joining us on this lovely 106 degree weather here in Las Vegas on Wednesday afternoon, just a little past 4 p.m. Got Quan 5'9 in the studio behind the big board doing what he does for us every single Wednesday night. Guest co-host and the man that actually made this show possible today. I'm going to be honest because I wasn't supposed to be here today, but I made it. I was able to make it here. My guy, Chris Nguyen. What's up, Chris? How you doing today, my brother?
I'm doing great. It's good to join you again once, Jose, and you as well as Ian and Quan and the whole Straight Bet Sports crew. Good times here at Gorilla Cross. And on a day where not a lot going on, gentlemen, when it comes to the world of sports, you could say the most inactive day in sports in America, given that, you know, the All-Star game just ended last night. Therefore, we're still in the midst of the All-Star break. Obviously, the NBA, NHL, and the other sports aren't going on. You have the Wednesday, which is typically a program for all the golf tournaments that are going on. And you don't have any WNBA action tonight, which is kind of surprising, to be honest with you. So make no mistake, right, guys? There's still so much to talk about across the board.
Must be the worst day of sports because there's nothing to watch, but there's a lot to talk about, definitely. That's definitely something that we're going to do. Big shout-out to our guy, Ian. Ian is not in studio again tonight. He's still dealing with some family stuff. Big shout-out to him. He's still a big part of the show. He ain't going nowhere. We wish him and his family the best. Hopefully, he's back in studio next week. Go ahead and make sure you follow him. Shoot him a message. Let him know that all things are well. If you're watching this show today, do what you do and what I ask you to do every single week. Press that like. Drop that comment. Press that share. We'll go from there. Let everyone know what it is that you are watching today and that you are enjoying. We are live on all Gorilla Cross radio platforms on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, GorillaCross.com, and, of course, the Gorilla Cross app. If you haven't downloaded, download it today. It's completely free on all platforms. And if you want to give us a call later, 702-608-3259 is the number to call. And if not, social media. I got Twitter. I got Facebook. I got everything up right here in front of me. So I'm going to read as many of these comments as I can. And I know Chris is going to have them up as well. Now, we got a guest in the studio today that, Chris, you obviously made it happen. He's a return guest. He's been on the show before. Someone locally very well known. Someone that's very likable. And he knows what he's talking about. So we thought, why not bring him back? And he's an ex-college football player, man. It's on his profile on Twitter. I mean, what can I say?
Well, Jose, you didn't know I played college football, too? Come on now. Division three, baby. Shout out to the Mascac. Framingham State.
Where's the shirt, though? You didn't bring the shirt.
I should be sporting my colors, my Rams colors. But, as you pointed out, one of our favorite sports television personalities here in Las Vegas, Jesse Merrick, joining us here live in studio, KSNV News 3 here in Las Vegas. Yourself, Brian Salma, do a tremendous job over there. And it's always great to get you on the airwaves and to chop it up a little bit more in kind of a not informal, I guess, but more of more of a commentary type style than what it is that you actually do for a living, you know, every single day.
I actually get to have an opinion.
Exactly.
I don't get to just report on the scores and the highlights. Exactly. Yeah. So I always love coming on with you guys. I'll slip you those 20s I promised you for that nice intro. But I'm fired up for it today. And what was the name of the school you said? Hold up.
Framingham State College, my friend. I know I'm going to bring it up again. The Rams. We were the Rams.
Framingham State. Division III
Northeast College. Man. Not exactly powerhouses, Jesse, when it comes to college football. But it was still college football.
It sounds made up. And the only reason I say that
is because
I played Division II Azusa Pacific University. Okay. All my friends make fun of me and say that sounds made up every time I talk about it. So, like, I can relate to you. Nobody knows where the hell my school is. I'm sure with yours, they're like, what?
So, Jesse, our most famous alum, I don't know if you guys even know this, our most famous alum, kind of a sad story, actually, is Krista McAuliffe. the school teacher who was on the Challenger that ended up blowing up in the sky. I remember back in 1986. Some of you guys might not have been.
I was 2 years old, but I know what you're talking about.
But it was my time.
Yes, exactly. It was a long time ago. But she was a teacher and one of the first basically civilians that was supposed to go up into space. And of course, we all know the ending of that story. But it was she's our most famous alum. So it is a real school. It did exist.
It definitely is a real school.
Not even hijack.
You played wide receiver. You said right.
Yeah, I was a wide receiver.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a good time. You know,
I'm trying to picture the pads.
Well, I was that, so that was about like 25 pounds ago as well. You know, I'm about 170 right now. I was like 190, 195 back then. So.
I'm thinking a little Cole Beasley action, Jose. I'm thinking a little Wayne Corbett, maybe.
Yeah, I got some Jets up right here. Funny to pull that up, definitely.
I'd like to say I lean a little more Cooper Kupp, Hunter Renfrow. I mean, put some respect on my name, man.
Little more new school.
Cole Beasley wasn't bad.
Wayne Corbett was like, it was outstanding when he was playing.
He was a Jets god, let's be honest.
Exactly.
Even though he didn't win us anything, he was a Jets god. But, I mean, you're still looking pretty good, though, my man. Has your regimen changed from when you were in college and playing football?
Oh, a little bit,
you said you were bigger.
Yeah. Now more, you know, nutrition focused. I work out a lot. I do jujitsu. You know, that's kind of, those are my things that kind of keep me going, keep me moving and active.
And being active, you're active all over the city, bro. I mean, you're everywhere. Where were you just right now recently? What were you doing right now before you came to the studio?
I was just over at the Raiders facility. I got the water bottle to prove it.
So obviously football's not here, but it's almost here. It's right around the corner. What can you tell us about what you saw today and what you think is going to happen moving forward this season with the Raiders?
Yeah, so today was really more so, it was report day. You know, league mandated the guys have to talk when they report. So we caught up with Max Crosby, Hunter Renfrow, John Simpson, and Denzel Perryman, you know, just talking about, you know, the season ahead, you know, and so much of the discussion around this team is around, you know, one, the AFC West, you know, one of, if not the best divisions in football right now. But, you know, people talking about expectations, you know, the Raiders finally made the playoffs, all this stuff. And the guys were kind of like, man, get out of here with that. You know, like they're like, those are just words. That's not something that we're worried about. You know, we come in here, we're going to do our thing. And I agree with that. You know, I think, one, it's good to have expectations. You know, you build that by, you know, being successful on the field like they were last year, even outside of all the craziness off the field that was going on. So, you know, a lot of talk about that and just about the excitement. You know, they're talking about like camp starts tomorrow. They actually hit the field for the first time. And, you know, they were like, it's like the first day of school. You know what I mean? Like all the guys are back together. Everybody's fired up. And then now, you know, we just get that opportunity to actually see what it looks like because there's so many storylines with this team, so many questions about what it's going to look like. Well, now we don't have to talk about it. We get to see it. You know, then we get to talk about what it actually looks like once it's out there.
And Jesse, you pointed it out. Look, it's not just one of the best divisions in football, if not the best. It's one of the most interesting and intriguing divisions given this offseason that we just went through. You're talking about a Denver Broncos team that, you know, makes a change at quarterback and adds Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
You're talking about, obviously, you know, the Las Vegas Raiders adding, you know, a wide receiver that's quite possibly the best wide receiver in the game.
99 and, Madden rank, by the
exactly.
way.
Exactly. And you're talking about teams like the Chargers and you know and obviously the Kansas City Chiefs going through transitions from a personal standpoint as well too. Kansas City obviously not having Tyreek Hill there anymore, but bringing in people like Juju Smith-Schuster. So it's going to add all kinds of intrigue, right, guys? When it comes to the AFC West, and we're not AFC. You and I was there.
No.
We're not AFC West guys.
Not at
but
all.
I got to say that, and neither is Quan. But I have to say, it's going to be one of the more fun divisions to kind of see here in the 2022-23 season.
So I was listening on the radio earlier before I came in, and they were talking about how they were talking to Davante Adams. And Davante Adams is basically saying that it's like plug and play for him to come over here, that it hasn't been so far that tough of a transition speaking with coaches, connecting with players. But then same thing, coaches are coming out saying he's been a role model. He's been talking to the young guys. He's been there to support them. That's huge for a guy coming over after being so long in one place and having to come over all the way across the country to play here. Granted, we haven't gotten started yet. We have a long way to go. But to hear that right off the gate, that's something really good you want to hear from a guy that just got paid to come here.
Oh, massive. And the thing is like, this is where he wanted to be. Yep. You know, he said, he's like, he grew up a Raiders fan, you know? So this is something that for him, you know, it means a little bit more, you know, as corny and cheesy as that may be, like, it's true, you know, like this is where he wanted to be. His family's closer, all this stuff, you know? So he's just like happy. And then being reunited with Derek Carr, all that different stuff. And he is like, you think about receivers, obviously we know about the whole drama and saga with Antonio Brown when he came over to the Raiders. Like, that's a thing in the past. This guy is the most, like, zero, non-ego, non-diva, like, receiver that there is, man. I mean, you know, being a former receiver, like, we get a lot of flack for being divas and all the different problems and stuff like that. Like, this is a guy that's not going to have any issues with that. And also, too, look, I know people are talking about, well, oh, he's going from Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr. Like, duh, man. Of course there's going to be a bit of a drop-off. But having said that, this is a guy that I don't think it's going to impact him anyway, like, ego-wise, to be like, oh, man. Like, I think he's happy with taking making a little bit less in the stats category to open things up for guys like Hunter Renfro and Darren Waller because of what that offense can be if all three of them do actually do that.
Another guy that's going to be talked much about here in training camp, Jose, as well as Jesse, is Josh McDaniels.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Chance number 100%. Two for Josh. Obviously didn't work out too well in that first spot when he went to Denver with the Broncos after his time as an assistant in New England. But there's got to be a ton of optimism, right, around that facility and around training camp, given what it's believed he can bring to the table, right, Jesse, as far as a head coach for the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And, you know, the big thing that guys keep talking about, and not that John Gruden and his staff weren't like this, and they always preface it by saying that, but they say the detail that this staff has. You know, you think about the Patriots and just how, you know, everything is just like boom, boom, boom. You all, everything lines up perfectly. They've all said that detail is the thing that they're getting here, unlike any other coaching staff they've had in the past. You know, so that to me speaks, one, okay, these guys are like, they're teaching, and you have to obviously teach the broad scheme of things, but also they're able to hone in on those little details as they're installing all this stuff. And those are the things, those details are what separate the good teams from the bad teams. You know, we see these teams that, like the NFC East, it's always like worst to first every year, you know? Yeah. So it's like those little details that make a huge difference. And I think that's going to be big for the Raiders, because think of how many games, what was that? I think like 7 games last year within a score or one possibly on the last play, different things like that. I think sticking to those details will help it not flip in the opposite direction in games like that. You know what I mean?
And it's crazy that there's still so many fans to this day, because you can go out there on social media and see, and there's still people there that aren't high on this team, but yet this team was a playoff team last year. Like, I understand it wasn't the greatest of playoff teams, but going through what they went through as an organization, Derek Carr to come out and try to be the leader of this team and do what he did, and to still make the playoffs in those scenarios and that situation is completely crazy. Now, going into this season, you've covered the team since day one, since they got out here. You've seen the regimen change. We have a guy that knew what he was talking about on TV, but didn't look like he was doing too much in the upstairs when it came to Mike Mayock. He's now gone. Gruden is gone. Everything has changed completely. From the moves that you've seen from the previous regimen, right, on the offseason, the trades, the signings, things of that nature, the drafts, and then now this year so far, from what you've seen from this new crew coming in, do you see a more of a professionalism, as in this team looks like they're actually moving in the right direction now, as were before? In my opinion, it didn't look like they were doing that with Mike Mayock.
Yeah, you know, I think with the previous staff, not to say they didn't have a plan, but from the outside looking in at times, it kind of looked like they were throwing stuff on the wall and seeing what would stick. You know what I mean? You know, and so with this one, it's very clear that from day one, the second they got there, they've had a plan and they've executed it. And they've gone and made it happen. I mean, look, who would have thought Davante Adams would be on this team, or Chandler Jones, you know? And who would have thought that they would have gotten rid of a guy like Unique Ngakoue, who had a great year with this team? Most people would be scratching their head saying, what the heck? Why'd you get rid of Unique? Well, they do that, and then they bring in a guy like Rock Ya-Sin, who I think honestly is going to lock down that other starting spot at corner opposite Trayvon Mullen if he's healthy. And I think that's going to look like really sneaky trade that they got made happen in that one, because to me, Rock Ya-Sin is a very, very underrated corner, and I'm excited to see what he does in this one. So I just look at the moves that they made, and I think it was a really just good overall draft, signings, trades, everything that they've done thus far, I've been very impressed with. And I think the biggest thing with this team is going to be their offensive line, just in terms of what happens there. You know, there's a lot of question marks there. But having said that, they addressed that in the draft as well and got some guys, some young guys that can start to develop and build that up, so that maybe in a year, 2 years from now, it's not so much a sign of a point of weakness.
Gotcha.
We know, understand what the leadership pyramid is, Jesse, when it comes to the offensive side of the football, right? It's going to be Derek Carr. It's going to be, you know, Davante Adams to an extent, and some others. What about defensively? What are we looking at as far as like the guys you're going to look to be leaders on that defense? Obviously, Max Crosby has stepped up in a way from an emotional standpoint, an emotional leader. It's clear that he's going to be one of those guys, possibly, you know, a Denzel Perriman, guys like that. What does the defense look like when it comes to the personalities that are going to take control of that side of the football?
Yeah, I think tip of the spear 100% has to be and is Max Crosby. I mean, ever since signing that deal, you know, some guys get that money, they kind of drift off into the distance, they get a little quiet. Max Crosby has been louder, but in a good way, in the sense that he's been so visible on every like front. And it's little, but like I said it when they introduced Sandra Douglas Morgan as the team president, Max Crosby was there. Like, I've never seen a player show up to a president being announced for the team, you know? And it was over at Allegiant Stadium. It's not like it was at the facility and he had to just walk over. Like, he made a point to be there. Little things like that. And I was talking to their PR guy saying, this dude has been the most visible player on the team since signing that deal. So, like, if you're a Raiders fan, if you're, you know, working for the organization, you got to be so happy. Like, money well spent. And then on top of that, as you noted, Denzel Perryman, he's going to be that vocal guy. He's crazy when he gets out on the field. Super vocal. And the guys always talk about with Denzel, like, he's that dude that just plays like his hair is caught on fire and it shows through on the field. Anytime you get a mic'd up segment with him, I wish they had him mic'd up for every game, because that guy, he plays like a psycho and he's always yelling and screaming all this crazy stuff. So he's like that Energizer Bunny in that group there. I honestly think, too, Trayvon Merrick in year two with safety there, I think he's going to emerge as a bit of a leader back there, but more for him, not necessarily the rah-rah, you know, super loud type of guy, just that, like, lead-by-example type of guy. And I think Patrick Graham's going to be able to get a lot out of him in the secondary. And then another guy just to throw in there, too, Jonathan Abram. Okay. He's a very vocal guy. This is a big season for him. You know, he has to do well in this new defense. Patrick Graham's got to figure out a way to get him involved there. But he's the guy, I think, if he's playing well, his playing style and the way that he just is, his bravado, could be a very good leader on this team. Again, the caveat, has to play well, otherwise it's a lot of no talk, you know, a lot of talking and nothing really backing it up behind there. No offense to him or anything. So I think he's a good player. It's just a matter of putting him in the right position.
Abrams is a tough player, man. He likes to hit, but he's got to get better at the tackling part of it because he plays so rough, man. But once again, Jose V, Chris Wynn, Quan 5'9, Jesse Merrick in studio, hanging out here on Straight Bet Sports, Gorilla Cross Radio, coming to you live from downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. Talking a little bit of Raiders here with Jesse. Now, I know that it's going to be easy to say, well, Derek Carr has no excuses now, right? You know, he's got his guy, even though he hasn't played with him for almost 10 years. They've been separated. If we look at Derek Carr's first 9 years, statistically, defensively, they had some of the worst defensive giving up points. So he can't play both sides of the field. I get that. So people now, you have Devontae Adams. You have the best receiver in the league. There's no excuse. I kind of disagree with that a bit because we don't know what Josh Jacobs is going to give you this year. Josh Jacobs has been another guy that has to be healthy and he has to do a lot more in this offense, I believe, in order for the Raiders to fully go over that hump. I think they can be an amazing offensive team. If Josh Jacobs stays healthy and they don't work him to the bone too much, because I understand when John Gruden was there, it was ground and pound. They wanted to run the ball. But you got a guy now that's for sure can catch the ball on the outside. You have a guy in Hunter Renfrow now that's going to be in the slot with a lot less pressure on him because you have Devontae. Last year, it was Renfrow, if we're talking, if we're being real, he was almost the number one option. But if all these guys stay healthy and they play together, Darren Waller, I mean, with offensively, they have names on paper for days. So I kind of agree with some of the narrative out there that there is no excuse. And I'm not going to say for Derek Carr, though. I'm going to say there's no excuse for the Raiders offense this year to not succeed.
Yeah. For me, the biggest thing, the built-in excuse is the offensive line. You know, because outside of Colton Miller, they don't have anybody that's proven.
True that.
You know what I mean? Denzel Good's coming back. He's coming off an injury. He's a good player. You know, is he going to be able to lock down one of those spots, which I think it's up for grabs for him, definitely. You know, a big question at left guard is going to be John Simpson. You know, good at times, road grader type of blocker, you know, real big physical guy. He's known for his presence in the weight room, you know, so he's going to get out there and, you know, be getting pancakes and stuff like that, you know. Andre James, second year as a starter, you know, at center. What's that process going to be like for him? You know, he had times where he showed flashes and it looked good, other times where it didn't. You know, right guard is that spot where I think Denzel Good slips right back in there. The big question mark is going to be Alex Leatherwood. You know, what happens there? He had a horrible season last year. Let's just be honest. Keep it real. You know, and so he moved to guard after the injury and had so many penalties. I think he was the most penalized player in the league last year, if I remember right. It's tough to learn in the NFL, especially at offensive line. It's a developmental position. So I honestly think I'm also an optimist, so, you know, it's a little different, but, like, I think that he's going to come in at right tackle, better coaching staff, better development, another year under his belt, not figuring out how the heck to be a pro. He can concentrate on his game. I think he'll play better. And if he does, to me, he is the key for this entire offense, which sounds crazy when you think about all the different names on there. But if he's able to lock down that right tackle spot, I think they have serviceable players all across the rest of the offensive line to where they're going to be humming.
Speaking about flashes, Jose, Jesse just brought up, I want so bad to believe that Josh Jacobs can be a top 5, 6, 7, 8 running back in this league. I really do.
I agree
with
you.
Talking about flashes. We saw flashes of him being pretty spectacular in his rookie season, right? In his first couple of years. I mean, there's been points where you're like, you know what? This guy should be able to get it. He should be one of those guys in this league. I just want to believe and hope that he can make those steps and take those steps this year under Josh McDaniels now, the new head coach, which, by the way, could be another built-in mini reason, I guess, why there could be some excuses if they don't succeed offensively, because it's Josh McDaniels' first season with the team. So, you know, you got to give him some time to grow with this team, with his offense. But I'm telling you, Josh Jacobs, I just want to believe, Jesse, that this guy's got it.
I can see that, but see, my thing is, I don't think Josh is going to be as big a piece as maybe you guys think he is. Like,
really?
He is. Okay. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's a good player. They didn't pick up the fifth-year option on his contract. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to be a Raider at the end of next season. No knock on him. I just think the price tag's going to be too high. I think this is going to be much like we've seen in New England, you know, the running back by committee type of thing. Fantasy managers are going to hate the Raiders' backfield because there's going to be so many guys thrown in there. Having said that, that has been very beneficial for Josh Jacobs over his career when he was in college. He was never the number one guy, and he was able to stay fresh. You know, he's one of the most elusive running backs in the NFL. You look at any of those rankings that ranks elusiveness, he's always top three in that list. So to me, I think a fresh, healthy Josh Jacobs, like you said, you know, he's going to be doing that, but it's going to be at a much lower clip than it was before. You know, they got Brandon Bolden. They got Kenyon Drake back there. They drafted Zeus, the kid out of Georgia.
Amir Abdullah.
Amir Abdullah.
I think he's
not going to make the team, man.
He might not. It's a numbers game, right?
It really is. But having said that, there's a lot of people in that backfield that I think are going to get playing time. And I, not that Josh is going to be an afterthought. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's a really good player. One of the top 10, 12, I think, best running backs in the NFL. I just think he's not going to get as many opportunities because the way that offense is going to be designed, in my mind.
Gotcha. So I do want to talk some Aces basketball with you because we're Vegas, but I want to throw one more football topic at you. Mm-hmm. It's been reported that the 49ers have given Jimmy Garoppolo, throwing this out there. Love it.
That was breaking news today. I was wondering when you bring this up.
They gave him, you know, permission to seek a trade.
Yeah.
There's speculation of obviously people calling Cowherd, this, that, the other people talking about he's a great fit with the Giants and whatever it may be. I'm lost for words at this point. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, I mean, if I'm being honest with you, and I'm not a Niner fan, this from the outside looking in, if I'm the Niners, you keep Jimmy. Jimmy got you to a Super Bowl. Jimmy got you to championship games. Jimmy has been a more serviceable quarterback than the guy that you have now waiting to take his job. I understand that the kid has potential, but we haven't seen much of it. Why are we going to get rid of a guy that we know can help you win games? They're winning in spite of him. I get that. It's not because he's going out there throwing 500 yards. The defense is great. The players around him are great. I get that.
But $27 million backup. That's why.
I get that. I understand that. But what happens if you do trade Jimmy and Trey Lance just flops this year and he's not what you expected? Not saying that's going to happen. Then you had a guy that was proven and you let him go because you wanted to experiment somewhere else.
You can get yourself another Jimmy Garoppolo in the draft if that happens.
Woo.
You know, I mean, let's be honest, it'd be much cheaper. You know what I mean? Also, though, too, this gave him permission to seek a trade. Get out of here. What have you been doing this whole time? We all knew who was going here.
Oh my God.
This is just you saying, hey, we can't really find a trade partner. So, like, why don't you and your agent try and help us out here? Because they kind of screwed him now. I mean, there's not that many openings out there right now. What, the Texans is the only one that comes to mind that would possibly make sense. I mean, everybody else is kind of spoken for.
And you talked about it, Jose. They're playing the what-if game if they do that. But, hey, that's what they're rolling the dice, baby. They drafted Trey Lance for a reason. They didn't draft him to say, oh, yeah, he's going to back up maybe Jimmy Garoppolo.
And they traded up. They traded a lot to get him. So
they have faith in what he can do on the football field. They believe he'll be that guy. Yeah. So they're gonna take that gamble. And, yeah, they're going to have pie in their face.
So let me ask you a question.
Doesn't work out that way.
As a Lions fan, right now, would you take Jimmy G over the guy you have? Would you take Jimmy G over Jared Goff?
I would. I probably would. Yeah. Well, you put me on the spot. I probably would.
And this is two guys that have also been to a Super Bowl as starting quarterbacks.
No question.
But see how you said Garoppolo. So that's what I'm getting to, too. Why would the Niners say, we're not even going to try to keep this guy and maybe get rid of him later?
They didn't draft Trey Lance in the sixth round. You know what I mean?
I'm just talking about
you guys know the deal. If you're fans of an NFL franchise, if you draft a quarterback in the first two rounds, you expect that guy to be your quarterback.
Correct.
Eventually. That's exactly what the San Francisco 49ers are thinking.
We're 1 year in. We've had guys that have sat behind and held clipboards and done things.
Is Jimmy Garoppolo Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, though? Is he Brett Favre and you're putting Aaron Rodgers behind him in Green Bay?
No, he's not.
That's kind of the mentality I'm thinking. I'm basically just adding on to what you said, Jose. I think that the Niners, from the outside looking in, they're rolling the dice. But they could win big on this, and Trey Lance could turn out to be a star, and then they'll look like roses and sunshine and great ice cream and everything. You know, they'll look great.
The thing, though, too, is in today's NFL, you draft a quarterback that high to play them and also save the money on that deal, on that rookie contract. You know, you shed the salary from Jimmy G. That opens the doors for other things. The Niners aren't that many pieces away, you know, from a Super Bowl contending team. You know, also, too, this offense, under Shanahan is built for a running quarterback. That's the thing. The tools that this kid brings to the table, which, look, I don't think he's going to come out there and be a world beater. Also, I'm not out there at practice every day watching this kid. None of us are, having said that. So I think, though, if they are in that position where they're saying, hey, Jimmy, go do your thing, that's because, well, they've had Jimmy for how many years now? And then they've had Trey Lance now for a year, and they've been able to watch him at practice every single day. They think he's ready. I think they are totally fine. And like I said, if it doesn't work out, you can go ahead and get yourself another Jimmy G in the draft or in free agency. It ain't going to be that hard to find.
There we go, man. So it's going to be fun to see where Jimmy G eventually does land if he goes anywhere. Call me crazy. I don't think he gets moved. And not because I think the Niners decide to keep him, but because of some of the stuff that was just said here. It's gotten to the point where they're allowing him to seek permission to get a trade. And at this point, they can't do it. They're letting the agent do it. So we'll see what happens, man. It's going to be a fun time there in San Francisco this year. I got nothing against the Niners. I'm not a Niner fan. I'm a Jets fan. My team sucks, so it doesn't matter.
They're going to win the Super Bowl, by the way.
Huh?
What's that? They're going to win the Super Bowl.
Of course,
there's zero pieces away,
Jesse.
Zero pieces away.
Quastradamus strikes on Straight Bet Sports. We're going to clip that out,
first.
And we're going to put it away later for when the Super Bowl happens. But once again, you're tuned into Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. Jose V, Chris Wynn, Jesse Merrick, Quan 5'9 up in the building, chopping it up. Guys, the Aces, I said it earlier when we got in the studio, guys, when we sat at the round table before we started talking. I'm not talking bad about this team, but on this show, we're very opinionated and we like to give our opinions and we speak our mind. We don't hold back, but we still hold respect. But this team has gotten to the point where they have absolutely lost their identity and they need to find it. And they need to find it fast. A few games before the All-Star break, Asia Wilson even said it in a press conference. I don't remember the exact words, but she's like, this isn't fun. We're not ourselves. We need to find ourselves. Something of that nature. I can find the video and post it if you don't believe me. But last night, that fact was proven. That first quarter, you saw it, Jesse. You weren't there, but you said you saw it. Was just horrible. Their first 16 points of the game for the Aces, 15 of them were three-pointers. They were relying on the three-point game because they were afraid to go inside. No inside game whatsoever from what I saw. And too many sloppy turnovers, too many sloppy mistakes. And if I'm being honest with you, I think this team is tired, guys. There was points early in this game, not even in the second half. I'm talking about first, second quarter where Asia Wilson looked like she was breathing hard, where Chelsea Gray looked like it took her a minute to get up the court. So I honestly think, just from what I saw last night, that this team is probably suffering from fatigue. Because if we look at the first half of the season, when they were hot, they were running and gunning like crazy. But again, their Achilles heel this season has been their defense. One of the first, if not second, scoring highest the offense in the league, but also first or second giving up points in the league. Becky Hammon said it early in the season as well. I think we're fine. It's just we haven't found our identity offensively. No, offensively, you guys are there. You haven't found your identity on the defensive side of the ball. Now, they came out of the All-Star break, broke records in that first half, that first quarter, won by 30-some points. But they kind of packed it in the second half. I understand that they benched most of their starters. You bring in some other people, but you still gave up 74 points. That's still a lot of points in this league if you're giving up, in my opinion. And it was on the road. You have to be a little more tight-knit. And if you look at by quarters, third quarter has been horrible for the Aces this year. They completely flat out do not come out for the start of second halves for some reason. And then they come back and have to figure it out in the fourth. This team has to figure out what this identity is because, guys, right now they do not have none. How do you guys feel about the team?
I agree with the third quarters for sure, you know, and that's been something that's plagued this team since I've been covering them. You know, that and turnovers, you know, anytime that the Aces aren't successful, you know, they've been turning the ball over to high clip.
Yeah.
You know, I think for me, a lot of it on the defensive end, you know, they just have trouble switching. You know, when teams start throwing pick and roll, things like that, you know, they struggle defending specifically from three as well, giving teams too much space, and teams are able to hit. You know, I don't remember the exact number, but Atlanta hit a lot of three-pointers last night. You know, when
we'll
team,
pull that up real quick.
Yeah, I know. You're it was good. Over, I think it was over 15. When a team's hitting that kind of thing, you know, good luck stopping them. You know what I mean? Like, that makes it kind of tough. And in terms of offensively, you know, Becky says this all the time, too. So much of what they do offensively is through their defense because they're able to run and gun. You know, they're out there like the running rebels, man. They're able to just run up and down the court and not go against a set defense, you know, and that's what helps them so much. And I do think fatigue is definitely a factor in this one right here because they just finished the second longest road trip in WNBA history, if I remember right. Yeah. That's not easy. You know, they've been a lot of back and forth. All-star game. They've got the Commissioner's Cup coming up as well. So I think fatigue is definitely going to be mixed in there a little bit. But at the end of the day, like, you got to find a way around that because this is kind of getting crunch time. I think there's like 11 games left or somewhere around there. you know, so you got to figure out a way to get that rest in there where you can. The other thing too is, you know, the bench hasn't had a whole lot of time to really get in there and develop and do things like that. And that could be an issue for this team. And part of that is because they've been so successful. They've been blowing teams out. Yep. So, you know, they get thrown out there, but it's in a meaningless point of the game, you know? Having said that too, though, Raquana Williams is also someone who admitted, like, she doesn't feel like she's 100% yet. And I think she's the most valuable person coming off the bench for them because
she looked hot last night.
Yeah, she is one of those people that can get hot from three and just bam, bam, bam. So, like, I think when she is healthy, when she's right physically, she's going to be a game changer, not only just for the team as a whole, but for those other bench players out there, going to open things up for a lot of them too.
And Howard last night, man, for Atlanta was just hot. 6 of 9 from the 3-point line. Atlanta went 15 of 24.
Yeah.
I thought they made more than that. It just looked like they were making everything. 62% from 3-point line is where the Aces were 10 of 35, 28%. Chris.
Yeah, Jose and Jesse, I'm kind of hesitant to overreact and get crazy after just, you know, the first game out of the All-Star break. Becky Hammon talked about this in the pregame interview yesterday, how it was, you know, that was a nice long trip that they were on. And pretty successful, obviously, up in the upper northeast, where they were able to win a bunch of games. And then it was a pretty fun All-Star game for them as well, too. So I don't want to, you know, jump to too many conclusions. Look, I was surprised that the Atlanta Dream would go out there and score 35 points in the first quarter against the Aces, you know, in Michelob Ultra Arena. Defensively, I think that Becky and their team really have to circle the wagons a little bit from that standpoint. But as you pointed out, Jose, Howard was just outstanding, 24 points in this one. And of course, Hayes had 31 as well, too, for Atlanta. So I think it was one of those kind of strange games, I think, offensively, that that Atlanta probably will not replicate too much during this season. And you don't want to get too wild about it. I will say this about, you guys brought up obviously Raquana and that bench. She was the only one that showed up on the bench. I mean, she had 8 points in the game. I think they had 2 points combined from the rest of the team off the bench. That can't happen. And of course, you know, Chelsea Gray didn't have a great shooting night either. I think she made 3 shots out of 12 in the entire game. So she struggled offensively for them also. So I think that's something they can work through. And look, they're still one of the best two or three teams in the WNBA. I think that will be the case moving forward.
And you need more from De'Arica Hammy. I'm sorry, you got put into this starting spot now and you ended up being an All-Star again this year. 0 points is unacceptable. I mean, last night, that's tough.
And she played 22 minutes. Not like she played 5 minutes.
No,
she was out there for a little while, so.
Well, and Becky says it a lot, too. It's like, she's not going to drop plays for De'Arica, but she does still need to find ways to contribute offensively. Mm-hmm. You know, that's 0 points, that's not good. I didn't even realize she didn't score any. But she's like also one of those people that's just like the energizer bunny for that group too. You know, there's so much that she does that goes unnoticed. And then you'll look at a stat sheet and all of a sudden be like, wow, she's got 15 points, or you know what I mean? But I think in some of these losses, it kind of has been a comedy of errors at times, you know, where it's just like the other team's just shooting like lights out, you know, and not to say that's not necessarily the Aces' fault. You know, sometimes there is, you know, it fixes things on defense. Like I said, get better at switching, things like that. And that fatigue factor does play into it as well. But I think, you know, if I'm an Aces fan, I'd rather see it now, you know, than the last couple games of the season. Definitely. And, you know, when playoffs start, I think this is the point where it's good for them because it can be a bit of that wake up call as they get set to dive into the playoffs.
And then a lot of celebrities out there, man. If you guys haven't been to a game, this is the place to be. I mean, Darren Waller was there last night. He's there almost every night. We talked about it. Mark Davis, courtside, every single game. Last game, Matt Barnes was there. Previous before that, we had Tom Brady. I mean, the list goes on and on.
A lot of former San Antonio Spurs players obviously supporting Becky that end up showing up, obviously be given in the offseason.
And talking about that as well, Becky being a former Aces player technically, when we're going back to the San Antonio days, Kelsey broke her record last night for most three-pointers in a season made by an Ace slash, you know, previous teams that we had here, broke Becky Hammon's record as well. I love what I'm seeing from Kelsey this year, guys. I'm being honest with you. And I'm happy that she's getting the playing time that she deserves. Because when Bill was here, one of your guys, you know, bad boy Detroit guy, it didn't seem like they gelled too well. It seemed like there was times where they bumped heads, where he would take her off the court, wouldn't even acknowledge her. You know what I mean? So I think that now the chemistry that she has with Becky, not because she's a female, just the way that she's being played, the fact that she's a starter, the system, the way everything is in place just works better for her, man. And I'm happy for her.
Let me chime in on this real quick before Jesse, because I know you got to get out of here pretty soon. The Bill Laimbeer, obviously, Becky Hammon thing is interesting to me because two things can be true. Bill Laimbeer was an excellent coach in the WNBA, won multiple WNBA championships. Obviously, we know what he did as a player with the Bad Boys and all that, but he's a great coach, and in certain situations, he'd be outstanding. I just think Becky Hammon's a better fit. And that's kind of been the running theme, right, all season long when you talk to the players about that relationship, whether it would be Coach Laimbeer or Coach Hammon. It's just a better situation with Coach Becky Hammon. It's not necessarily hammering Bill Laimbeer saying you're not a good coach. It's just saying that in this place, in this time, with this franchise, and with this group of women, Becky Hammon's just a better situation with her.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, you look at Bill, the numbers speak themselves, you know, what kind of coach he was. Like, there's no knock on him whatsoever, but I think this is the way this team wants to play. You said it, the system, I think, fits them so much better, specifically someone like Kelsey Plum. I mean, her game is shooting. She always says that she's never seen a shot she didn't like, you know?
Correct.
I mean, this has unlocked her game and let her go and do that. I think under Bill, at times, you know, they were so against shooting threes and things like that. They were just feeding everything into the paint. And understand, like, look, they had Asia, they had Liz. You know, he got two dominant bigs. You're going to want to feed them down low. Having said that, I went back and looked at the numbers a couple games into the season. Under Bill's tenure here, they were like bottom five, whatever, in the league in three-point shots, attempted, made, all that different things. And then with Becky, obviously, we've seen it's shot through the roof. You know, so it's just been a total flip in philosophy.
Yeah.
And I think that has unlocked so many parts of their game, specifically, too, with someone like Asia. You know, see her shooting threes now. I saw him throw a stat up in the previous road game, and they were saying that she's made more three-pointers this year than she even attempted in her previous handful of years. Yeah, so, like, you know, not that you want Asia sitting back there launching threes, but she can also shoot a bit, and, you know, that stretches the floor some more. So, for me, it's definitely this system just fits this team so much better. And I think also probably some of her coaching style, you know. And this isn't a very popular opinion. I've talked to some people within the building. I told them, I was like, I think Bill lost this locker room after the last playoff series. I've been reassured by many people within the building that said that's not true. I still feel that way. You know, again, I'm not in the locker room, so I could very well be wrong. But I just felt like it was time, and I think he realized that. And again, no knock on him. He's a great coach. He's had so much success. I just think it was time for a new voice in that locker room, and I think Becky Hammon is the best voice for this team because of the way she coaches, the system, all those things. You lump it all in there. This team just seems to be playing so much more free, even when things aren't going right.
Jesse Merrick, NBC News 3, hanging out with us here live in studio on Straight Bet Sports. Jesse, I know you got to get going now, my man.
I do.
Everybody know where they can find you on all things social media and, of course, on TV as well, my man.
Oh, yeah. Always on Channel 3. We'll be diving into a lot of Raiders stuff in the coming weeks, coming days here. But always on Twitter, at Jesse News 3LV. I'm always on there.
There we go, my guy. Greatly appreciate you, and we'll see you out there, and we'll have you back in studio again soon.
For sure. Appreciate you guys.
My guy, man. Definitely. So what's up, man? We gonna have a Ken Thompson in the studio?
Yeah, we got
or what?
KT. I don't think he's gonna be in studio. He's gonna be hitting us up. He'll be dialing us up on Skype. So we'll get him on. Obviously, he was talking. We didn't get a chance. Unfortunately, Jesse's got a roll, but we can talk to Ken Thompson because he was also there live at the Las Vegas ballpark for the charity event on Monday. Obviously, a large number. Riley Smith and a lot of the Vegas Golden Knights had one team with a number of scattered celebrities, including Jesse's guy, his colleague Brian Salmon in uniform.
So wait, did they get him a uniform? So because Salmon, he was complaining saying
deal.
That they didn't put him in the game.
Jose and Quan, here's
he
the deal.
He told me straight
he's out,
out
there, right? He's in uniform, but he's also emceeing this thing. So you got Salmon out there. He's got a microphone.
I heard he got cut and didn't realize it.
So he had the uniform on. No, because he had the uniform. He had the name on the uniform. So they gave him a uniform. Maybe Quan's right, though. Maybe they made a last-second personnel decision when it came to the actual roster and the lineup.
You got
to
hit up KT.
Brian Salmon ended up becoming the full-time MC down there at Las Vegas Ballpark.
So you got to hit up KT so we can get him on the line, let him know that we want to get him here. But it's funny because I was talking to Brian before that about a week ago, and he goes, can you believe they didn't even put me on the roster? Can you believe I'm not even playing? He goes, you think that the guy that's basically working for the studio that's hosting it will basically kind of have some type of say in it? I'm like, hey, bro, you work behind the scenes. I don't get it. But that's our guy, Brian Salmon, man. And it's funny, every time I hear Brian Salmon and then I hear Jonathan Abrams, I always think of the Salmon.
Exactly.
Salmon. Remember that?
Yes.
Because I think they ended up talking to each other, right? He ended up interviewing him, and they talked about that one time, too. He posted it on one of his social medias, which is pretty crazy. But did you watch the Home Run Derby or the baseball All-Star game at all this week?
I watched both.
Okay.
And Home Run Derby was interesting, too, because you had Rodriguez, you know, a rookie, essentially, with the Seattle Mariners. You know, the casual baseball fan's not going to really, really wired in on what he's about. But obviously, the hardcore baseball fans would know. But he put on a pretty impressive display, to say the least. Guy was hitting home runs out there left and right. Obviously, a lot of focus on Albert Pujols, given that he was in the Home Run Derby, and this is his final season. And it was Albert Pujols. We're talking about one of the all-time greats, all-time great right-handers in baseball history, regardless of your fandom, right? Yeah. And he was spectacular. He ended up winning in the first round, which was an upset because he knocked off, I believe, the two-time defending champion, right?
Alonso.
And Pete Alonso. Yeah. So that was kind of cool to see that. I took a flyer on Acuña Jr. at plus 205, Jose and Kwan, to win in the first round.
For all you betting experts out there.
And of course, he had the worst first round out of all the hitters that hit in the home run derby. But it was fun to kind of, you know, it's a home run derby. Look, home run derby is like the slam dunk contest, yeah. Right? It's kind of an added addition to All-Star Week or weekend or early week, whatever you want to call it. And it's a fixture, it's a tradition, and it's cool. And you get a chance to see some of the bright young stars and some of the current stars who are in their prime get a chance to put their home run hitting displays on. So that was kind of cool on Monday to see that.
James Harden, real quick, agrees to a 2-year, $68.8 million deal with the Philadelphia 76ers. Just throwing it out there. Got reached out about 30 minutes ago before the show started. But going back to the All-Star game and the home run derby, funny thing here too, Rodriguez made a little over $700K for coming in second in the All-Star game.
Is that as equal to his salary
for
this year?
His base salary is $701,000 this year. He literally made more.
And Jose, this is in the midst of all this talk about Juan Soto, right? And him turning down $440 million.
And here's the thing, and I'm going to start doing this every week because I see a lot of funny sports TikToks. So I'm going to start posting them and talking about them on the show every week. But there was one that they posted, which was hilarious.
I posted
there
a
was
funny
a,
one.
There was a, I probably was
I'll,
you.
I'll tell you.
There was a bunch of Dodger fans.
No, this is
where Juan Soto was on left. I think it was right field. Mm-hmm. And they're all yelling, "Future Dodger," and they're clapping.
That was pretty funny. I did.
And then right at the end, he turns around, and he smiles, and he's so caught up with the crowd that he forgets the inning is over and turns around. And he's got to run up.
Yeah.
Do you think Soto will be a Dodger pretty soon?
I think he's going to be not a Washington National pretty soon.
Okay.
I'm not really sure exactly where he goes because you know all the heavy hitters are going to be in on that. It's Juan Soto. We're talking about a guy that's coming into his prime. He's going to be one of the best players in baseball.
15-year deal?
He's going to end up getting 10 years.
But isn't that what the Washington Nationals offered him?
He wants less. He wants less than a 14-year deal, obviously, and he wants more money.
But
so I think he's going to get.
What are
here's
we talking
the deal,
about,
Jose.
Chris?
He's going to get 10 years at $500 million. He wants more money too, by the way.
But are we
he
really signing guys for freaking 15 years here?
Hey man,
I mean, is this hockey?
I don't make excuses for the finances in Major League Baseball. These owners are shelling out ridiculous amounts of money. And this isn't the NFL. This is guaranteed money. This is the NBA, the NHL, and Major League Baseball, where it is guaranteed. You sign that deal, you get that money. It doesn't matter if you blow both your knees out the next day or something. You know what I mean? You get that money. So it's kind of rather remarkable to see the financial commitments that a lot of these owners are making in Major League Baseball. That being said, yeah, I think he's going to get $500 million. I think he's going to end up getting that. And so how that shakes out and what team ends up giving him that, I don't know yet, and we don't know yet. The Dodgers very well could be one of those teams that do that.
Yankees.
But the Yankees could be one of those teams. The Red Sox could be one of those teams. But the end of the day, it's not shocking to me whatsoever. And there's going to be other players that are younger than him that are going to be getting, you know, $500 million deals also. So it's all how it seems to progress year by year. You know, and people were, even in the NFL, when Matthew Stafford got all that money from the Lions, they're like, what, Matthew Stafford? Guy hasn't won a playoff game, and he gets, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. Well, hey, that's just the market and what each league or each team is willing to shell out. And that is going to be the case with Soto. That's going to be the case with a lot of Major League Baseball young stars.
So let me look into this camera, and I got to let you guys know right now. I'm going to make a lot of you guys upset, and it's okay, because it happens from time to time. You know what I mean? You don't like to hear the truth, and I totally understand that. But you guys saw what happened last night. Who won the All-Star game? A Yankee won it for the American League, right?
Yeah.
A Yankee also won the MVP award last night. And what do you know? The best team in baseball right now is the New York Yankees. So I've said it all year, and I'll say it again. The Yankees are going to win the World Series. Aaron Judge is going to be the MVP. And I'm not going to say Nestor Cortez anymore because he's kind of dipped off. But Gerrit Cole is going to win the Cy Young. We might have a comeback player or some other stuff around there. Maybe manager of the year with Aaron Boone after last year everyone wanted to kick him out, myself included. But you got to admit, Chris, the Yankees are on a historic, monumental roll right now when it comes to the way they're playing record-wise, where they can get, obviously. We're not going to say they are going to get there because they have to get there eventually. But if this team keeps playing the way they've played, right, and they keep winning games the way that they're winning, aside from the Astros, because we know the Astros are the Yankees' kryptonite, who can beat this team, Chris?
Well, historically, talking, there is a precedence in Major League Baseball for for the best team in baseball winning the World Series, right? It happens a lot more in baseball than it happens in other sports like the NHL, NBA, obviously, you know, and just flat out other sports. So it would not shock me whatsoever. That being said, I'd push back a little bit on your Gerrit Cole for the Cy Young just yet. There's some people. There's a kid down in Tampa Bay that might have something to do with it. There's a kid, you know.
Kid in Toronto.
There's this guy named Justin Verlander in Houston that might have something to say about that as well, too. So, but no, there's no question. They're clearly the best team in baseball right now. And you look at that lineup, it's pretty much ridiculous. And we'll see moving forward. It's again, like I said at the top of the show, it's a dead time for baseball right now. There's no games. It's the middle of the All-Star break, and we still have the second half of the season coming up, so it should be a lot of fun.
So we still got a little over 10 minutes here, but we got our final guest, someone that you got on the show. I've been honored, and I've had the pleasure of being able to jump on the show with him as well on SportsX Radio, K-Don, here in Las Vegas. He is none other than Ken Thompson from SportsX Radio, joining us live here on Straight Bet Sports. My guy, how are you doing?
There he is.
Oh, he's muted.
Listen, I got a ticket on the Yankees.
Wait, Ken, do me a favor. Put your phone sideways for us.
There you go. Now I'm upside down.
No, you're sideways now. That's a weird look right there. Here we go.
Oh, you probably have it on auto-rotate off.
Yeah, you're good. Just go back to where we were. There you go.
There we go. We're good.
Am I good?
Yeah, all right.
I'm in the Westgate parking lot. I just grabbed all their college football win totals games of the year. They're the last to get them out, but you could tell by the numbers. They're very sharp numbers.
So what do you got to say about the Yankees? I know you wanted to give us your thoughts on some baseball here real quick.
Yeah, here's the thing. I mean, I've got a future on the Yankees. I got them at 6-1. They're not playing great ball right now, you guys. I mean, I know their record is ridiculous, but when you start losing 2 out of 3 to Cincinnati, I don't care, man. Baseball is baseball. And we've seen many teams win 100 games and then flounder in the playoffs, the postseason. Look at the Dodgers last year, right? So you can win all these games during the regular season, but you better have your crap together when it gets to the postseason, or it could be short-lived.
So, KT, we had Jesse Merrick on the show before you came on. He was there live in attendance for that great event on Monday at the Las Vegas ballpark, as you had players from both the Las Vegas Raiders as well as the Vegas Golden Knights and a bunch of assorted local celebrities, including himself, the Grinch, Ken Thompson, and other sports media personalities that were down there. Talk to us about that event. How was that? We got a chance to see a lot of your great photos on Instagram and across social media, where you got up close and personal with some of Las Vegas's biggest sports stars.
Yeah, and that's the coolest thing, is watching the guys in a different element where they're all relaxed. Denzel Perryman was great. Let me see. There were so many other good ones. Foster Moreau. Mm-hmm. I had 3 home runs, too, so it was fun to watch him. Got to see Riley Smith, and I'm glad that the Knights extended his contract, needed to keep number 19. Really good time, though. And then Ryan Reeves, of course, because you know I'm a Rangers guy. Yeah. So I said I'm bummed that he's not here in Vegas, but if he was going to go anywhere, I'm glad he's back with Gallant and the blue shirts. So it was a great time. And, the Knights ended up, I think, scoring like 20 unanswered runs to erase a 15-7 deficit and go on to win that game. But I think events like that are so cool inside your own city. And the place was packed. There wasn't a seat open at Las Vegas Ballpark, which, of course, we agree is the nicest minor league ballpark in all the land.
And to KT's point, Jose, he had a chance to took pictures of a lot of both Vegas Golden Knights as well as Las Vegas Raiders. And that just goes to show you how beloved people like Ryan Reeves as well as Nate Schmidt are. They're not even playing for Las Vegas teams anymore, yet they come back here and are at this event, and they're as popular as all the local Las Vegas athletes that are playing here, right, KT? I mean, it was great to see, and Nate Schmidt hasn't been here for like 2 seasons, it was kind of cool to see both those guys out there.
It just shows how much the fans here actually stick to players and how much they have player fandom more than team fandom. Yeah. As crazy as that sounds, I know I've said it over and over again, we have a lot of Golden Knights fans, not enough hockey fans in Vegas. But KT, you're sporting the Raiders t-shirt, my guy. I know you're big when it comes to Raider Nation. Give us your thoughts. Media day today, the beginning. It's just the tip of the iceberg. We got a long way to go. How do you feel about the Raiders moving into this season with everything that they've done?
I really like it, man. I'm just hoping McDaniels does a better job here than he did his first stint in Denver. And I think he will. I think he learned a lot went back to New England instead of taking the Colts job, and really like what they've done off the field. And, you know, the team to me is going to be tough to stop offensively if Derek Carr stays healthy. And that's a key. You got to keep that starting quarterback in a 17-game season. Got to keep him upright. I think McDaniels will roll him out more to the right, not just sit back in the pocket continuously, kind of keep teams like the Chargers off balance. When you have a Bosa and a Khalil Mack now, J.C. Jackson, guys like that, but they're going to be blitzing big time, and that's been the Waterloo for Carr. I think he gets outside the tackle box like Mahomes, like a Russell Wilson. Then you can throw the ball out of bounds to the line of scrimmage, run and slide. Derek Carr is a great athlete. He has just been gun-shy as far as tucking the ball under and running since he got hurt several years ago. But I think you'll see that wrinkle in the Raiders' offense. You're bringing Devontae Adams. Was able to talk to Hunter Renfrow today, media day. One of the best slot receivers, young up and coming. You've got Waller. You've got Moreau. A couple good tight ends. And I really think DeMarcus Robinson also coming over from the Chiefs. I think the offense is going to be tough to stop if the O-line, and that's what we always hear here in Vegas, if the O-line can pan out. We know Colton Miller's a mainstay, but also talk to John Simpson, who's going to probably start at left guard. Played all 17 games last year out of Clemson in his fourth year now. So it's key, though, for the offensive line to do their job. I think the defense has done enough. You bring in Chandler Jones to help out Max Crosby on that pass rush, and the secondary looks pretty good on paper. Again, but you got to gel and get that chemistry on the field.
Ken Thompson joining us here on Straight Bet Sports with Jose V, host of SportsX Radio, 8 to 10 p.m. over on KDWN, the talk of Las Vegas, talking some Las Vegas Raiders. Got to talk about the AFC West, obviously, KT, and get your take on the totem pole. What do you think as far as the power rankings in this division that has been so ultra active this offseason from both a player personnel standpoint as well as a coaching standpoint, obviously with the Raiders, with Josh McDaniels? Where do you rank the Las Vegas Raiders when it comes to the AFC West, and how do you have the other teams ranked as well?
Well, Chris, you know, I'm a little bit of a silver and black homer, a bit, but I do have the Raiders at 8-1 to win the AFC West. At the Westgate, I got that. It is down to 6-1. So there is money now flowing in on the silver and black. There was just a mistake value-wise. Look, the Chiefs without Tyreek Hill, they were plus 195. Chargers plus 225. And then the Broncos were plus 250. There's no way there should have been that kind of gap between the Raiders and the Broncos. Hell, the Broncos haven't beaten the Raiders in 2.5 years. I mean, I think they've lost the last five. The Chargers, they didn't get in the playoffs. Why? Because they lost to the Raiders in the finale. So there's not that big a gap between these teams. And with Tyreek Hill going to Miami, that brings KC, in my book, back to the pack a little bit, because Travis Kelce, getting up there in age, will no longer have one-on-one coverage all the time. Mecole Hardman, yes, he's got speed. Can he deliver like a Tyreek Hill? I don't think so. You'll have to prove it. They've got some other decent receivers, you know, over there in KC. They bring in Juju Smith-Schuster. They bring in Valdez-Scantling, but that's not Tyreek Hill. Denver, Russell Wilson, he'll do well. Judy, Patrick, those guys, Sutton, decent receiving core. The end of the day, I think the Raiders' skill set position with Devontae Adams coming over is as good as anybody's in the division, and that's why I have the Raiders. I think they're good enough to win the division, but their first five games are really tough. If they can go 3-2 in the first five, I think the Raiders win the division.
Hey, Ken, I know we got you in here last minute, so we're running against the clock here, but I did want to ask you another question before we let you go. We bounced it around with the guys. I talked about it with them. Josh Jacobs, what do you see from him this season, and do you feel he needs to be a bigger part of the offense?
He does need to be a bigger part of the offense, but he was basically, you know, somebody that Gruden gave the ball too much after his rookie year. Coming out of Bama, he shared that backfield with two other backs, the Harris boys, and so nobody knew he was as good and durable as he was. But then they keyed on him second year, and his numbers went down. They were still okay for anybody else, but not for Josh Jacobs. And they did not extend his contract, so he's playing for his Raider life, and there's a lot of competition. You've got Kenyon Drake back. I talked to him. He's healthy. You bring in Brandon Bolden. I mean, there's guys like Amir Abdullah, old veteran, that's going to try and make this squad as well. And they also grabbed Zeus, Samir White out of Georgia. So it's a loaded backfield, but Josh McDaniels from his day in New England, look, he's not set on, you know, holding on to a back. He'll get rid of you. You're expendable as far as running backs, and it shows by the salaries, the way the receivers get one pay grade and the running backs, short-lived, get another pay grade nowadays, when it used to be the opposite when Chris Wynn and I were growing up.
Yeah.
There he is, Ken Thompson, SportsX Radio. My guy, I know it was last minute and it was quick, but we got to get you in the studio next time and we got to do the whole hour with you, all three of us at the round table, my guy. But thank you so much for giving us a few moments of your time, Ken. Please let everyone know where they can find you and your show every single week.
There you go. Yeah, SportsX Radio, Monday through Friday. It is 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific. You miss any part of the show, just follow me on Twitter, at SportsX Radio, at KenThompson87. I'll tweet you the archive version, no commercials, KDWN, 101.5 FM, 720 AM here in Vegas. And again, you guys rock, man. And Jose, I knew you'd have a good show, man, but you brought down the ratings just a little bit by bringing C. Wynn in.
KT knows what's up. Come on now.
There he is, our guy
he
KT,
speaks the truth.
Man.
KT, I'll see you in a couple hours, my friend.
You got it, guys. God bless.
Have a great one, my guy. Thank you. Ken Thompson, man. Good stuff. You going to be out at
I'm heading out to he's doing his show tonight live from Steiner's Pub, so I'll be rolling
man,
up there.
I'm going to have to go hijack the mic.
Get some land chops,
I'm
going
to have to go hijack that mic and just show up with you guys, man.
You can do that.
Because he's been telling me for a minute, when are you going to come out? When are you going to come
should.
Out?
You should. Hey, the invitation's always open,
the
my friend.
The door is wide open,
yes.
Right? Definitely. But Chris, man, I appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Because you helped out a lot today. I wasn't going to do the show. You came in through last minute. I greatly appreciate you. You got the guests. You made it all happen today, my man. So thank you again for your support and your help. As always, you've been a big part of my media career, and you know that, man. I'll never forget that. I always say that. But let everyone know where they can find you on all things social media and what you got going on.
Yeah,
as well.
All over the place. Still jumping in every once in a while over on Fox Sports Radio at Heatwave Sports with Tim Oglesby and Tom Barton with those guys. Also with Brian Feldman on Out of Line as well, too, on the morning show every once in a while. And doing a lot with Ken Thompson's show, SportsX Radio, occasionally jumping in for him. And as well as over with Brian Shapiro's show over on KSHP, too. So all over the Las Vegas airwaves. And you can find me on social media at Christian Wynn on Twitter, and also CWynn77 over on Instagram as well, too.
I'm popping in,
and Quan Shane is heavy because I'm always popping in with my hot takes on social media about my Detroit Lions, my Detroit teams, always going Detroit homerish, and not afraid to jump on the other sports shows here at Gorilla Cross Radio and giving my two cents even when it's not warranted
and
on those shows.
I shake my head because your social medias aren't uniform.
They're all different.
That's a pet peeve of mine.
Oh, you don't like that yet?
No,
maybe
I should
do it then.
Your at should be the same for everything, but we'll talk about that off air.
Okay.
We'll talk about that
off air. That's good advice. I might have to take that.
Once again, man, Chris Wynn, greatly appreciate you, my guy, Quan 5'9 in the studio. Man, time flies when you're having a good time. We're at the end of it already, man. It's been a fun week for me so far. I'm about to go on vacation, man. I'm excited. I can't wait. I'll be gone. Chris is going to be in studio for the next couple of weeks coming forward. I'll be here next week, but then after that, it'll be Chris for a few weeks. Maybe Ian, depending on what he's got going on with his family situation. We wish him all the best. Like I said, he is a part of the show. He ain't going nowhere. Big shout out to my guy, Evan Guerra of Drumline AV. We're out at the Aces game last night. And big shout out to Darren Waller of the Las Vegas Raiders. He gave me the time of day last night. I greatly appreciate that. I know a lot of these guys are busy. They're celebrities. Sometimes they don't want to be talked to or be bothered. He was hella cool and gave us the time last night, so we greatly appreciate him. And everything that he's doing in the community, man, he's all over the place.
Super nice guy, Darren Waller. And one of the nicer superstars you'll meet out there, and he is a superstar. We're talking about a guy that's a top four tight end in the NFL. So
Definitely. Yeah. Now, I don't really have a final thought tonight. The only thing that I will ask you guys, helping your friends and dropping a like, dropping a share, or dropping a comment costs you absolutely nothing. It's completely free. If you have a social media and I happen to be on your friends list, do me a favor. Press that like, press that comment, press that share. Let everyone know that you have friends that are doing something. Maybe you do like sports, but you don't watch all the time. I get that. Just do me a favor. Click that button. Help us all out. I do it. I do it on Twitter daily. I have a lot of people that help me out on Twitter, so I greatly appreciate it. I threw some other people's stuff in there to help other people out because that's the type of person that I am. We all are here to help each other out in the media when it comes to Vegas. If you haven't known that, you should know that now. We're not here to fight. We're here to have a good time. But, man, if you have not seen our archives, please, Apple, Spotify, Google, Anchor, YouTube, GorillaCross.com, the app, we are everywhere. If you missed today's show or the shows that we've done here in the last 2 years, they're all there. You can't miss it. Check us out. Till then, for Jose V, Chris Wynn, Quan 5'9, Jesse Merrick, Ken Thompson, you have been tuned into another episode of Straight Bet Sports here live on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. Till next week, we are out. Peace.
What do you think about the owner of the lights?
That's the homie.